Welcome to Press Any Button. I am Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we are talking about Nancy Drew, The Captive Curse, the best of all the Nancy Drew games, probably.
Totally.
Or the best of the games that I have played, which is this one. So Nancy Drew, The Captive Curse is a point-and-click puzzle adventure game. You play as Nancy Drew, who must solve the mystery of a monster haunting the German castle Finster. Nice.
Spooky.
And there is a spoiler warning. We will be talking about the story elements and the solutions to the puzzles, or some of the puzzles from the game. How's that? Good?
That's great.
All right.
Ready to learn about Nancy Drew?
I am. I'm so ready.
Okay, cool. So the game that we picked was called Nancy Drew, The Captive Curse. So I picked this because it took place in a castle, you know?
Yeah.
There's a ton of games. So I did look at a ranking list as well. And I tried to pick something that was sort of in the middle because I didn't want to pick just what the person said was the best one.
So, you didn't want to pick what everyone thought was the best game. You just want to pick one that was like in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I wanted to pick one that sounded interesting that I thought like you would get into.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're into fantasy stuff, and castles are cool. Every time we go to Europe, we visit a couple of castles. You know.
Yeah.
So
I like castles.
I thought maybe this would be fun. So. Nancy Drew, The Captive Curse was released June 28th in 2011. It is available on Microsoft Windows and macOS platforms, or macOS X platforms. It has an ESRB rating of 10+, and it has that rating because it has moments of mild violence.
I don't know if I'd call those mild violence. They seem some of them seem pretty extreme to me, but
well, that's what it says. Okay.
I might be in the minority on that, maybe.
Right. So you don't think if you had like a 10-year-old kid, you would let them play it? Do you think it'd be too violent?
No, probably not too violent for a 10-year-old. I don't know. It just maybe it's because it lets your imagination play a little bit with some of the deaths.
Yeah. I mean, it never actually shows anything.
No.
It's just usually, you know.
I imagine a 10-year-old might have as vivid, or might have a different imagination than I would have about some of the stuff that happens.
Probably. Hopefully it's more innocent and they're not like thinking of some gruesome murder thing because they're still innocent, you know, and they haven't lived life.
Yeah. I've just played...
or watched a lot of true crime.
Yeah, I've just played too many violent video games in general.
Yeah, exactly. So to start with, I would like to go back a little bit and just talk about the history of Nancy Drew herself. I'm not sure if everyone's heard of her, but I think most people at least have heard the name Nancy Drew and probably know that she is a detective.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything else, you probably know that about her character.
Yeah, that's pretty much as far as my knowledge went before playing this game.
Okay, same. Because I didn't read any of the books growing up or anything.
Neither did I.
But I did know that they were a book series. So, you know, I knew she was a literature character or whatever. So,
yeah,
I knew that of the part.
Yeah,
so,
same here. I knew she existed.
Okay. So, obviously, she's a fictional character, a sleuth in an American mystery series created by publisher Edward Stratemeyer as a female counterpart to his Hardy Boys series.
Oh, so it's by the same author who does the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
So that's why they're kind of appearing into each other's stuff,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And Hardy Boys was a big hit with young male readers that were into mystery and stuff. So they were probably thinking, okay, let's kind of do the same thing, but try to get more girls to read the books, too. Yep. So she first appeared in 1930, and she proves continuously popular worldwide. At least 80 million copies of the Nancy Drew books have been sold, and they have been translated into over 45 other languages. Nancy Drew is featured in 5 films, 3 television shows, and a number of popular computer games, hence what we played.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of games, isn't it?
Yeah. There's 33 games, or 34 if you count the one remastered one that wow. was on the list.
Yeah, that's I had no idea yeah. there was that many games had existed. So it was kind of a surprise to me.
Right? The Captive Curse is actually the 24th game out of the 33 stories, or the games that have the unique stories, because I'm not going to count the remastered one in the list.
How dare you?
So, yeah, as we said before, it's a point-and-click adventure series, adventure game series by Her Interactive. The game is loosely based on the book entitled Captive Witness, which was published in 1981.
Wow.
Yeah. So in this game, just to go into a little more depth of what happens in the game, Nancy goes to a German castle to discover the meaning behind the legend of the medieval monster that has been blamed for the disappearance of young girls for centuries.
Wow.
Yeah. So that sounds like a true crime plot right there.
Yeah, I don't think it ever really explained what happened to all the girls, did it?
Well...
Oh, that's later. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, don't get too far ahead.
Yeah.
So you as a player take on the first person view of Nancy Drew, and you must solve the mystery through interrogation of suspects, solving puzzles, and discovering clues. There are 2 levels of gameplay, junior and senior detective modes, each offering a different difficulty level of puzzles and hints. However, neither of these change the effect of actual plot of the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've experienced this a little bit.
We did, because I chose junior detective mode because, yeah, I'm like, I usually choose the easy mode on games. And you chose senior detective mode, right?
Yeah, that ended up being a pretty big mistake.
Yeah. Because I had a click list, or not a click list, but like a checklist that automatically came up for me. So I had kind of like a visual hint list of what tasks that I needed to complete still. I had hints on my cell phone for certain puzzles and clues on how to get them or how to solve them. And... the puzzles that I had were a little bit easier than the puzzles that you had.
Yeah, that wasn't the puzzles being a little bit more difficult wasn't that big of a deal. To me, it was just the not having the checklist of things you needed to do to progress the story. That's kind of where you ended up for me. It ended up being a mistake because you get into a bottleneck situation where it's like, okay, you could go out and do all this stuff and you could get all these clues and solve all these puzzles. But then in order to progress the actual story, you needed to come back and have finished like all these specific things. And if you missed one or two, then you just couldn't do it.
Yeah. If you missed one little specific thing that it needed to trigger the next part, then I don't know, you could get kind of stuck like, okay, I've tried everything. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that part. It made me a little bit happy that I chose junior detective mode and didn't try to get crazy and do it on hard.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get in. That's like more of the criticism section for me.
So this Nancy Drew game was actually promoted with a video web series featuring Anya and Lucas called Postcards from Germany. And this game comes on 1 DVD-ROM instead of 2 CD-ROMs. Yeah.
Huh.
So I guess it was the first one to switch over to DVD from CD. So okay. 2011, I guess that's when that happened.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, could you imagine playing this back in the day and having your 2 CDs and then, like, in the middle of the game, it's like, oh, I gotta change the CDs.
I think
then the second part.
I mean, yeah, it could have worked like that. It also could have had been like one's the installation disc and one's the play disc. That's true. but yeah, it could have totally could have been like you had to switch discs to them. That would be pretty obnoxious.
That's true. I mean, as I've said before, I haven't really played very many games on PC, and this is kind of like really my first one, I would say,
yeah,
that I've really played on PC. So this game was also foreshadowed in Shadow at the Water's Edge, which is, want to guess what number game that was?
23.
Yeah. Which is the 23rd game. So during a conversation with Savannah Woodham, when Nancy asked her what is the scariest thing she's ever seen while ghost hunting, Savannah responds with a story about a creepy German castle, which is assumed to be the castle featured in this game, The Captive Curse.
Cool.
Yeah, and from my research, I found that they kind of like to do that with the games. They kind of like to give you a hint in the game as to maybe what her next mystery will be that she's going to solve.
So they're just pumping these things out so fast that they already have the trailer for the next one ready in the previous one.
Yeah. Well, from the list, it did look like almost every year they came out with one, but lately they haven't came out with one like that. Not every year. I think the one they came out in 2009 was like, or 2019 was like the first one in 5 years or something like that. So yeah,
it's a long time.
So I have some fun facts about the game.
Shoot.
You ready for some fun facts?
I love fun facts.
All right. This game is notable for a fight between Nancy and her longtime boyfriend, Ned.
Yeah, that was super awkward. Like, why?
Yeah, I remember starting the game, and it's like one of the first phone calls you get is from your boyfriend. He's like, I'm just alone all the time, and you're always out going on awesome adventures, and like, my life is lame, basically. And I'm just like, oh gosh, not only do I have to solve this mystery, but I've got to like save my relationship.
Yeah, so I got Jeez. My needy boyfriend at home.
But I guess that doesn't happen in a lot of the games, so this is kind of notable for that happening.
Okay. they don't often fight. I assume they fought that much in every game.
You know, which is good. You know, they really hopefully are a good couple outside of this game when Ned's not getting all jelly.
I mean, he does cool it, I guess, later on in the game.
Yeah. So these games have received recognition for promoting female interest in video games. So Hurt Interactive has actually won a lot of awards for this type of thing, like empowering females to play video games and making stuff for girls.
Yeah, cool.
Kind of hints the name Hurt Interactive, you know?
Yeah, I was a little bit suspicious of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah. So in 1998, the very first Nancy Drew game came out, and it was called Secrets Can Kill.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was released with Dreamcatcher distributing the games. And that company was originally contracted for up to 12 games, but this was later extended indefinitely. And in 2002, Hurt Interactive became an independent distributor, thus breaking with Dreamcatcher, and they took over distributing all the and making all the Nancy Drew games from then.
Cool. Okay. So the Dreamcatcher was making the games for Hurt Interactive. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so who's making the game now?
Well, I think they were distributing it for Hurt Interactive. And then Hurt Interactive broke off and then started just doing everything themselves.
Oh, okay.
From what I can gather.
Gotcha.
The Nancy Drew game franchise has won over 30 consecutive Parents' Choice Awards and has sold more games than Harry Potter, Myst, and Tomb Raider.
Wow. It's probably
because there's so many.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's probably because there's 33 of them or 34.
But still, I think that goes to show, you know, Nancy Drew is kind of up there with female characters that are really, really popular and like globally well known.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
So that's pretty much what I got for like, you know, what I could find about the game or the game franchise and Nancy Drew and stuff. It was hard to find stuff just on The Captive Curse, so I had to branch out a little bit. But okay. Yeah, in case people didn't know who Nancy Drew was, this is your intro to her.
So this is all fiction. So there's no truth behind the missing, disappearing girls and castles or any of that stuff.
I don't think so.
Okay, so not based on a true story.
I don't think. Yeah. It's based just on the book, the Nancy Drew book.
Based on a true book that's based on a fictional story.
Okay. Yes. I'm sure somewhere in Germany there were some missing girls, you know, because over time, at some point, I'm sure that's happened somewhere
in the country. But yeah, and there are also castles.
Yeah, and there's lots of castles. So, hey, yeah, we can say it's loosely based on a true story. That's what they do in the movies, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what are some of the things that you liked about the game, Eric?
Well, I actually liked this game quite a bit more than I thought I was going to.
Ooh.
It was more of a gamey game. I was worried it was going to be a little bit too easy, but that ended up not being the case, really.
Because, yeah, you do think it's for kids. It's like 10 and up, you know? I'm like, okay, yeah. But 10, 11, 12-year-old can play this. How hard can it be, you know?
It's pretty tough for a 10-year-old. 10-year-old probably with parental help.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a good game to play with your family and stuff.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, so I enjoyed, like, the variety of puzzles. They had a bunch of different ones in there, and it always seemed like they were mixing it up. Like, I feel like sometimes some of these puzzle games can kind of recycle the same ideas over and over again.
Yeah, I get kind of repetitive.
Yeah, and I thought it did a pretty good job of mixing up, like, the types of puzzles, and, like, you'd have word puzzles and visual puzzles and, like, yeah, like sliding puzzles, you know. It's a good variety.
Yeah, there's like mathematical puzzles, and then there was mini games to play with the characters. Like, two of the characters had little games that you could play with them.
Yeah, that was a really nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, I liked it because this isn't a game that I would normally pick. You know, I normally don't pick games on the PC, mostly because at my job, I'm at a computer all day, so I'd rather come home and play a game on a console with a controller just to get away from, like, keyboard and mouse, you know, and sitting in, like, a desk chair and all that.
Yeah, but I don't blame you.
But I thought, you know, one thing about this podcast is it's getting me to branch out and play different new games that I wouldn't normally play. And I thought this would be a good game to pick because even though you do play a lot of computer games, you know, this was more targeted towards girls and kind of more of a kids game, and I thought it would be different for both of us, different game to try.
No, for sure. I definitely probably would not have picked this game up on my own.
You can thank Mallory for that. So another thing that I like is all the different kinds of tasks that you have to complete. So not only are there puzzles to do, but you have to go around, you have to interrogate and talk to people. You have to go around and find clues. You have to really pay attention to what you're looking at. It's kind of easy to overlook some of the clues if you're not paying attention. Like, if you're not moving the mouse over, like, every part of the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And checking to see if you can click on it or not.
Yeah, for sure. For me, like, I thought the overall story was pretty good. I liked the setting. I liked the characters were pretty, like, zany and stuff.
Yeah.
That helps. Although I did think they maybe leaned into the German stereotype a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I can see that, especially with the accent.
Yeah. I almost felt like you could have changed Nancy Drew to, like, Scooby and Shaggy, and it could have been, like, a Scooby-Doo game or something like that.
Yeah. That's kind of what I have written, too. I was like, I didn't read the book, so I can't really relate to the game in that way, but I'm sure if you did read the books, you're like, oh yeah, I'm Nancy Drew, and you feel like you're going through one of the stories like you've read in the books. But that's what I wrote. I was like, I can't relate to that, but it does kind of feel like you're in an episode of Scooby-Doo. So I wrote that I kind of had the same idea, because especially like when you talk to the first character, Carl or whatever, the manager of the hotel, yeah. I'm like immediately thinking, this guy's probably it. It's always the first person you meet, you know?
He did seem pretty suspicious.
He did.
But yeah, like, I feel like I played a few Scooby-Doo games back in the day, and they were pretty bad. Just, like, I remember one on the Super Nintendo. It just really wasn't very, I mean, they tried to capture kind of the essence of Scooby-Doo a little bit, but like to me, if you had something more like this as a Scooby-Doo game, it would have been great. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, if they took the same kind of formula and made a Scooby-Doo game like this, I think it would do really well.
Scooby-Doo game developers, if you're listening.
I'm sure they are. Yeah. Sure, definitely.
I didn't know that there was Scooby-Doo games. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because Scooby-Doo's been around forever and there's been like a billion different variations of the TV show, and
yeah,
there's Scooby-Doo Monopoly and Scooby-Doo Clue and all that stuff, so yeah, it doesn't surprise me that there's video games.
Yeah,
it,
they end up just being like these really bad platformers. It just, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for the series because I don't know, you're
yeah, like, so instead of solving a mystery, you're just kind of like, yeah, playing levels,
you're trying to like, yeah, jump over monsters and like avoid things.
Yeah,
and yeah, I don't know, it's just from what I remember, just not great games.
Yeah, I think that the story is nice and layered, you know. You're not only are you trying to solve the mystery, but you're juggling all the relationships that you're making with the people in the hotel, and you're also having to juggle what's going on with you and your boyfriend, Ned, as well.
Yeah.
Lots of different things you have to think about and kind of juggle and multitask. With.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're definitely multitasking a lot in the game, which is kind of cool. Like, that's one of the things I really liked is, like, you get into it and then it opens up. Like, you can start exploring. You can start looking for clues. You can follow the leads for the clues that you want to follow. It's great until you get to those bottlenecks. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other things I really liked about the game was the atmosphere. Like, the castle looked like a beautiful castle. Like, you go in, it looks gorgeous. You go through the secret passageways, they're dark and creepy. You go into the dungeon, it's creepy. You know, there are definitely some areas that I felt like, as a kid, that might have kind of freaked me out a little bit. You know, you see like animal skulls in the secret passageway and stuff.
Yeah. And when you see the monster for the first time, there's like a little bit of a jump scare there too. Yeah. Did you get scared?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I did a little. I was like, oh. I really wasn't expecting it to just like pop up like that. And then I was like, oh crap, it's going to come towards me. But I mean, not super scared, but I was like, oh, I just wasn't expecting, like if I was a kid, I probably would have been a little scared by that.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you have anything else?
I think that it is good for women and girl empowerment because you're playing as a kick-ass female detective mystery solver. You don't need your boyfriend with you. You don't need no man to protect you. She's just walking around this castle all on her own, interviewing everybody. If she finds something suspicious, she just brings it up, you know, like when she found out that Anya lied on her resume, she was just like, girl, I found your lie, you know, fess up, you know. She just confronts it.
Yeah.
And I think when you're a little girl, like, you need games like that to put yourself in their shoes so that you can see yourself outside of the game doing cool stuff. Like, she has a hobby solving mysteries, but whatever your hobby is or whatever you like to do, you know, you can just be really good at it no matter what. Yeah. And
yeah, that's a really good point.
And also getting more girls to play video games too, because you know, that's always been kind of a thing that people who make video games, they know that, you know, it's kind of been seen more as like a boy activity.
Yeah, traditionally a lot of older games are kind of made intended with the audience of boys.
Yeah, but I think now, you know, that's definitely changing. You see tons of female gamers online, tons of female pro gamers playing Overwatch and stuff on really good teams. So I don't know. It's pretty awesome. And I think, you know, these games probably helped a lot of girls out there get into video games, especially if they were fans of the books.
Yeah, for sure. I also liked about the game was it was subtly educational. Like, they didn't throw it in your face. But I kind of realized looking back, there are actually quite a few kind of educational parts of the game. And they really incorporated them really well into actually the puzzle solving and stuff like that. Like, there's a glockenspiel that you play that gives you a reference for the notes, and then you use the reference to actually solve the puzzle. So, and In doing so, you kind of learn where the notes are on the glockenspiel.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And that the notes go in order. You know, yeah. You just have like B, C, D in a row, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like one of the puzzles incorporated pictures. Like they, like one had like a star or a sun, a moon, and a comet. And so you're thinking you might need the first letter of each of those. But then you realize that the first letter doesn't work. But then you can kind of figure out that, oh, it's the German word for those.
Yeah.
And they also have like these parts where you can find these like little brochures or something, and they have a bunch of German to English words.
Yeah.
And you can kind of learn some of that. And
there's quite a few puzzles where you have to translate from
German to English.
Oh, and then there's even like at the end, you know, one of the main puzzles, you're trying to pick what word you spells out, and it's actually ends up being a German word.
Yeah.
So was there anything that you didn't like?
I have a few gripes.
Okay.
I have a few gripes.
I do too. I have a couple. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my biggest one, and it's not just this game. There are lots of games where this is a big gripe for me. It's unskippable dialogue. So you have to actually wait for the voice actor to finish reading every single thing that's on the screen. So the reason that annoys me so much is because the voice actors, you know, they'll read stuff slowly. They'll act it out. Whereas you can just scan it really quick. And especially if you ever have to like repeat anything where you've already seen the dialogue and heard it, there's no way to skip it. That's like you're stuck, especially even when it's not even anything relevant to the game story at all. It's
yeah.
just like, all right, I guess I got to hear about Ned's problems and what he wants to do with his team or whatever he's trying to get together.
And I don't know if they add that later in some of the newer games or not, but
I hope
it
so.
Definitely would deter you from wanting to go back and say, if you played it and beat it on junior mode and you're like, okay, let me go see if I can do it on senior detective mode, that might kind of deter you because you're like, oh, well, I can't just go through and like just play the puzzles and stuff harder.
Yeah.
I have to like sit here
and wait
and waste time listening to something I've already listened
yeah,
to them
it wouldn't,
say.
It wouldn't be so bad if there just wasn't so much dialogue. Like, it's honestly fine in context of the game, like, to have that much dialogue because it is a very narrative, like, you know, it's based on a book and all that stuff. But it just, you know, if you're reading faster than the characters are saying it, you should be able to go through it quicker.
Yeah.
Some of those parts were just got so boring.
Yeah.
Where you're just interviewing some of these
I have,
people.
Like, the same complaint with walking around the castle. Like, I almost wish they would have added something in there that would have allowed you to just, like, warp to certain
yeah.
places. Because, you know, you do spend a lot of time just, like, walking around, like, getting from one room to the other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember just going click, 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 click.
Yeah, and then if you click the wrong thing on accident, it's like, oh, crap, now I gotta
damn
turn
it.
Around. And
turn around.
Yeah, so I almost wish there was, like, a little map warp thing, you know, like, that they have in a lot of other video games, so you didn't have to just, like, waste your time walking around so much.
Yeah. So I've heard in some of the games before this, like, Nancy Drew didn't necessarily die. In this game, I thought it was kind of weird because they had specific instances where she died, or it felt like she died.
Yeah, she definitely died, I think.
Like,
when that giant spiky gate crashes down on
and
you,
then,
I don't think you can live through that.
And then the game would just like make like a joke, haha, it's like, oh, looks like she's having a problem with the gates. It's like, that's...
that's how they kept it 10+ instead of like 13+.
It just felt so weird. It's like... Why give you the option to have her killed? Like, you don't have to. I don't know. Maybe it's just your imagination going a little bit too far with it. But I mean, yeah, it felt like she was dying. It felt kind of like out of place. I'll say that.
I think that's where the 10+ rating comes in, where it says mild violence and peril. You know, I think the peril part is what she dies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not against having your main character being... But it just felt kind of out of place for the game a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I kind of already mentioned this a little bit, but the bottleneck triggers. So, you know, the game would be opened up. You could follow whichever clues you wanted to solve. But then you'd get to this bottleneck where you had to complete, like, so many things in order to trigger the next round of dialogue. That, to me, was where it would get really frustrating. Even on the junior mode, you'd have everything checked off and you'd still have to figure out, okay, it's not triggering the next part. What do I do to trigger it? And sometimes it would be a certain dialogue with a character. Sometimes it'd be like looking at one of your items. It was just like, it was, there were so many things like that, that would just bottleneck you and just,
yeah,
it was like almost like you get so frustrated, you'd have to go just either look it up or you'd waste an hour just trying to figure out what it was.
And then like our friend Mallory said, you know, she plays these games all the time. So she actually noticed the clues, like the letters on certain things before she found the letter with all the places on. And so she already had like the notes written down or whatever, but because in the game, you know, that's one of the triggers, she couldn't just use her like knowledge that she already had from playing the other games. You know, she had to go and like do that extra thing all over again, even though, you know, she already made notes of all the things without that letter.
Yeah. And that's kind of annoying. It feels like they could have kind of cleaned that up in the programming before they released it, in my opinion.
I'll say for me, there's like a little bit of a learning curve. Even though, you know, I was playing, you know, junior mode, there's still a couple of things that didn't come intuitively to me. For example, and you saw this because you walked up on me while I was playing this part. But for example, when I was trying to explore the well and I had the flashlight out, but because I didn't know to click on the actual hook, even though I had moved my mouse over that, you know, I was like stuck on that part because I didn't know how to explore the well. And then finally, I asked you for a hint. And you helped me. And then it was like weird because I'm like, that's kind of like so specific. And I just spent like 20 minutes trying to figure this out. Like, if this is for a kid, it shouldn't really be like that specific, especially if you're not going to like make the cursor turn colors or something so you know.
Yeah, you know, like, you're over the right spot. Yeah. Honestly, that part, like, I only figured that out because I'm just so used to like trying every little thing.
Yeah, and I was like clicking everywhere, but I guess I didn't click like in that.
Yeah, and that
tiny pixel or whatever.
And I honestly, I kind of had that as a criticism too. Some of the puzzles were like pretty convoluted, even with the hints. Also, there was no way to look at previous spoken dialogue. So if you needed a specific piece of dialogue to help you with a puzzle, there's no way to go back and look like, okay, like she just said something important, but oh, I missed it. You can't go back and look at the dialogue that's already been spoken.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you better have been paying attention.
Yeah, you better have not have ADD like me.
But just going back and looking at previous dialogue, it should have had that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Another con or whatever that I have is that it is for a younger audience, you know? I can see how you would like playing this if you played it growing up, you know, and you had like memories tied to it and stuff. But I'm not sure if I'm going to be like going back and playing some of the other Nancy Drew games just yet. You know, maybe later I might try some more, but there's definitely like some other games that I would just want to play more than going back and playing some of the other Nancy Drew mysteries.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like point and click puzzle adventure games, I thought it was good. Like it was pretty solid. It's just all those little nitpicky things about it that kind of bother me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if I do play another game, then it'll be a little bit easier too, because I'll know like a little bit more of what to expect as far as like the actual gameplay goes.
Yeah.
You know, I'll know to try to like click on more specific things and try things like that. Whereas this time I didn't really know what to try.
Yeah.
So
I had one more thing. And that was the board games. You know, you can replay those as much as you want, which is great. But you couldn't actually play them with anyone other than the bots. Like, it would have been nice if you could have played, like, locally with a friend or something. I don't understand why they didn't just go ahead and do that. Because, I mean...
What? So if you had, like, other friends playing Nancy Drew or something that they could jump on the mini game with something?
Yeah, you could just go ahead and put it on to local players or two human players. They went ahead and pre-programmed the bots. I don't understand why they couldn't have just gone ahead and opened it up where you could, like, even after you beat it outside of the context of the game, just have it as an option on the main screen and let you play with your friends and stuff, you know?
Yeah. So if you wanted to just come back and play, you thought the game was really fun, you could just play the game.
Yeah, you could just play that board game.
Yeah.
I'm like, why wouldn't you do that? You pretty much have done all the work. You made the bots. All you have to do is take the bots away and let people take those turns.
Maybe they were afraid that enough people wouldn't be online or something to play?
Well, you wouldn't have to do online. It could have just been local, like on the computer. I'll say about the board games.
So, like, meaning you could just play together sitting there?
Yeah, if you had your friend, like, with you or something, you could play. I guess it would involve looking away because they both have elements.
Yeah.
But you can do that. Like, I just think it would have been nice to have the option.
Yeah, and that would get people to come back.
Yeah.
And play the game a little bit more later, too.
Yeah.
Get people to spend more hours.
Yeah. It's just a few things. Like, I feel like this could have been better. I felt like they cut a few corners. Maybe it's because they're doing a game a year at this point.
Maybe, like, the newer games have it. Because I did notice that, like, the game does evolve pretty well. You know, like, in the first games, Nancy Drew doesn't have a cell phone and stuff. So, eventually, like, she evolves into like a more modern detective, you know, with modern technology and stuff.
Yeah. And this one, cell phones are still pretty bad. So
yeah,
her cell phone,
her reception is out a lot.
And her camera phone is really crappy. And she has those little crappy ringtones.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's like, oh man, I remember phones like this.
So what about strategy, Eric? You always have strategy. I'm always the one that just goes into games not thinking about it. So what was your strategy for this?
My strategy was to click on everything, go everywhere, and talk to everyone.
Yeah, that was pretty much mine.
Yeah.
Just trying to be the best detective that I could be.
Yeah.
You know, if I was trying to think if I was a detective in real life, what would I do? And, you know, obviously you got to look for the clues. You got to interview all the people.
Yeah.
You got to search the premises, you know, all those things.
Didn't you ask Mallory for some tips on playing the game?
You know, I did ask Mallory for some tips and she gave me Mallory's top 5 tips for playing Nancy Drew.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about giving these games a try, which I think, you know, you definitely should try it out. You know, why not? Especially if you did read the books growing up. Or if you, like, played the games growing up and you haven't played them in a while, you know, go back and give it another try. So, are you ready for Mallory's top 5 tips for playing Nancy Drew, Eric?
Let's do it.
All right. Tip number 1, take the time to check everywhere. Things can be hidden at any spot on the screen, or unexpected paths may be available for you to explore.
Hmm.
I just want to say, I wish I would have had these tips before I started playing the game. There was definitely a couple of times where I went to explore, like, the dungeon, for example.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that you could kind of, like, walk more to the left. So I just went in and I looked at the 2 things and I was like, okay, I guess I'm done. And then I walked out and then later it wouldn't let me check it off the checklist. So I was like, dang it, I definitely missed something. And then when I went back there again, I was like, oh wow, there's like a whole nother area, and I just like didn't even realize it was there. What? So yeah, those unexpected paths, you know. Pay attention to those.
High dungeon, by dungeon.
I was wondering why I was so small, but you know, that should have been a hint that I didn't do it correctly, but whatever. Tip number 2, have a pad and paper to write things down and or take pictures of things that you think you'll need to remember. It's a mystery and you're a detective. There's going to be clues you have to remember.
Yeah, the pad and paper, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And just even like in the puzzle games, too, like it's good to have a pen and paper to write some stuff down to kind of work out the math or work out whatever the like puzzle is.
Yeah.
Tip number 3, read everything. There's usually a good deal of reading. If you want, skim the materials, then take a picture of the books to easily reference them back. But typically, clues are hidden in the reading materials. This is definitely something I failed. I was just I did not read anything. I was like, cool, I found it. Put it in the bag. Let's go. And then later, when we were trying to figure out some of the other puzzles, like, okay, I guess I should have, like, actually read what was on here.
Yeah, I was like, book, are there any like pages written weirdly on it? Nope. Okay, I'm done with the book.
Exactly.
And I actually got really stuck on one of these kind of later in the game. There was a kind of a viewfinder, and it had the words Castle Finster written on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's like that's the current castle. Like,
yeah, that's where we are.
So at any point, you could put that in front of your face, and basically it had like little boxes with numbers on them. I didn't realize that that actually went to a book. I was just going through the castle.
About Castle Finster.
Yeah, right. And the book was also called Castle. I'm like, they could have called the book anything else. That's not the name of the castle, so I know it's the book.
Maybe they did that on purpose, yeah, you know? You gotta think.
Oh my God.
You gotta think outside the box, you know?
That was frustrating.
You're a detective.
And there was like 15 different books in there, so you had to, like, you had to come across the one, and you had to remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God.
Tip number four, it's a prompt heavy game. If you're stuck, talk to everyone and look at all the items in your inventory. It's a little annoying, but sometimes that will give you a VO prompt to trigger the next puzzle, like the Glockenspiel puzzle in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of my criticisms about the game.
It's yeah, like, and then at first too, when I started playing it, I didn't go through all the dialogue. I was thinking of it more of like a choose your own adventure kind of thing, where I would just like choose the things I wanted to know.
Yeah.
But in the game, really, you need to just click on every prompt they give you and ask all the questions that they allow you to ask.
Yeah, for sure.
Tip number five. Objects aren't always used in obvious ways. Coins can be used as screwdrivers. Tongs can be used to pull hot lever instead of a glove. Things like that. So yeah. Another example of just like you have to think outside of the box. I remember when I was in the dungeon, I tried to use several things. So like before I got the necklace, I tried to use all the round things that I had to try to turn the thing. And no, yeah, none of it worked. But hey, I was thinking. I was on the right thought of track.
Yeah, and you have to know that you can't just shine a flashlight into a well. You need to put it on the hook and then slowly lower the flashlight into the well.
Yeah. And bonus tip. Since there are so many games, it's worth looking up the ranking list to see which ones you want to play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Since there's 33 games... And I did look at one, but I just didn't want to pick like the top one. But this one was ranked, it was pretty high, like top 10 of the list that I looked at. So it wasn't like the worst one or anything. I tried to pick one ranked good, but also sounded cool. So did you find a lot of things about like the future of Nancy Drew?
I did not find much. I know the latest game is called Midnight in Salem. And that's
that
number
came
33.
Out December 2019.
I read that there is a TBD game coming out that's supposed to be the 34th game or 35th, depending on whether you count the remastered
one.
So yeah, that's about all I could find.
Yeah, and the to be determined game that we saw, I'm not really sure where they got their like info or whatever, you know, it didn't even have a date or anything.
Yeah.
So maybe they could have just been assuming that there'll be another one just because like
it seems
there's
like,
always going to be another one.
It's like Madden, you know, there's always going to there's going to be another game. It's just going to, sometimes it might take a few more years or something.
Yeah. And I found, going off what you said, a blogger called My Flourishing Retrospect, and she thinks that they may have teased the next game could include Nancy and Ned on vacation together solving a mystery.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's her theory on what the next game could be. And they do like to put little hints in the games, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
You know, they like to put little hints in to kind of give you an idea, if you're paying close attention, what the next game could be.
I don't know. This game kind of gave me a negative impression of Ned. I feel like, oh, gotta drag Ned to the vacation with me to
solve
this.
Right, I feel like maybe we got
adventure.
A negative first impression of Ned. Maybe this wasn't the first game, you know, if we're trying to get to know Ned, maybe this is the first game we should have played, but...
It's like bring Naggy Ned with you.
Yeah. And one more thing that I found is in 2019... the CW debuted a Nancy Drew TV series, which is actually the third one that's ever been made. And it just got renewed for a third season this year. Okay. So, you know, I guess if you're into that, go check out that show. So, Eric, did you find out who was terrorizing the castle?
I did.
Community.
It was Lucas. At first.
Yeah, at first. A little prankster.
Yeah, and this is a spoiler. We should, well, we already said
spoiler. Yeah, we already said spoiler.
Yeah, it was Anya.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum.
It was clearly her. She lied on her resume.
She had all the fake emails.
You were willing to lie on your resume. Mm-hmm. What else are you willing to deceive us about?
Yeah, she's a scorned lover of the owner of the castle, you know.
And then she takes off the mask when you say it's her, and she tells you, like, exactly why she did it.
But immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
She just spills the beans. You don't even have to ask her. She just blurts it all out. She's... quite a terrible criminal.
Classic Scooby-Doo villain mistake.
Yeah.
Admitting to everything.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you, Nancy Drew. And your stupid cell phone. All right, so I'm really excited to hear what game you're going to pick for the next episode.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about this. This should be fun.
I'm excited and also a little scared because I know eventually you're going to pick something really hard and I'm not going to be able to like do the challenge and I'm going to have to rap.
Okay, so are you ready to find out what game we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. I've been playing it, like, all the time.
Hades.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Okay. All right. I thought that you would pick that eventually, but I didn't know if you were going to pick it, like, now. So
yeah, I
guess you might as well strike while the iron's hot. Like, you've been playing it. It's fresh on your mind.
I figured it'd probably be better not to wait a few years and do it in the distant, distant future.
Yeah.
It's still pretty, it's not super new, but it's still new-ish.
I think it'll be a fun one because I've been like seeing all my friends playing it on social media. For it to not be a new game, like I thought it was maybe like just came out because everyone was talking about it, but I guess maybe it came out and it got really good reviews and recognition, so like people heard about it and wanted to play it.
Yeah, it's honestly like one of the better games I've played in a long time. It's really, really good.
Okay, I will say, you know, I've seen you playing it and it definitely does not look like a game that I would typically like pick out, so let's see if I like it. Like,
yeah,
I'm excited to try it out.
This challenge is, I feel like it's going to be pretty difficult.
Oh gosh. Oh no.
Are you ready to hear the challenge?
To have to make anyone fall in love with me.
No.
Okay.
This challenge requires zero pigeon boyfriends.
All right.
You will have to escape from Elysium.
Okay. Who's that? Is he a god of some kind?
No. That's one of the levels of Hades.
Oh, okay.
So that's where all the champions of Hades are.
Okay. So escape from Elysium.
Yeah. Well, just make it past Elysium. So, okay. So you go through... Tartarus, Asphodel, and then Elysium.
And you said it was the layer of what? Hades, where what?
It's one of the, so there are different biomes of the game.
Uh-huh.
So it starts off, you're in Tartarus, I think that's how it's pronounced. And then you go into Asphodel, and then Elysium is the third.
Oh gosh.
It's the third biome. It's like the third area of the
game. And you said it was the what of the gods? Did you say it was the layer on that layer?
The champion. It's like where
the champion of what?
It's like where all the warriors and champions end up in Hades. It's called Elysium.
Am I going to have to fight all these champions?
You'll have to defeat Theseus and Asterus.
Okay.
And it's like he's the hero and the Minotaur. And you have to fight them both at the same time. Yeah, it's a pretty difficult boss fight.
This sounds like when I'm going to be like, I'll have to do my Lamaze breathing beforehand. Like, okay, I can do this. I can beat these people.
The good thing about this game, though, is the sessions are relatively short. So, you know, it can take 20, 30 minutes, and then you're dead, and then you're back to the beginning or whatever. So in order to clear the entire game, you can do it in as little as, like, 30 minutes to an hour or something.
Wow. Okay.
So the game can get... be cleared relatively quickly, and as you keep playing it, your character will, you know, be a little bit stronger. So
all right,
every kind of playthrough you get more stuff to make your character a little bit better.
Okay.
So it gets easier over time.
Sweet. And this is on Switch?
Yeah, I have it on Switch. So, yeah, okay, it's also cool. On PC, I think.
All right. Hopefully I can do it. We'll see.
Good luck.
Yeah. It'll be tough. All right. Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, please share with your friends, write a review, and interact with us on social media. We've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Find us. And see you next time.